Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
Talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 25th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Iman. How you doing, Iman?
I'm great. Excited to be back to talk some more with Canada. These house guests are messy, and it seems like they, you know, were kind of upset that there's no Canadian Zingbot, so they took it into their own hands. So
They did.
I mean, I'm here for it. Roasts always make me feel a little bit uncomfortable because I feel like, I mean, I have a bit of a sensitive side, so I'd just be so worried that someone else would take it the wrong way, but these people didn't give a damn. They just went for it. And you know what? Do what you got to do, boo. Let somebody know how you really feel. I'm here for it.
Well, that's the thing about roast. We'll talk about it, but all right, we'll talk about it. We're here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. It was day 26 in the house, and we had the conclusion of the flip talk going on yesterday. We had a roast that went down, and we had planning for next week. I mentioned over the course of the week that lots of conversations were happening. People were running in circles. We have finally locked in to place basically where we stand heading into next week. Now, again, things are fluid enough that things could definitely change. But I definitely think we have a decent picture of what we will be looking at in tonight's HOH. Of course, the invisibleness of it all could change that. But who knows?
Yeah, it's so funny. Like I was so tired last night when I was watching the episode. So I kind of like fell asleep towards the last 10 minutes and I woke up like, oh my goodness, I missed everything. And then I just checked Twitter and just kept seeing invisible HOH. Like, what the hell is going on? So yeah, it really threw me for a loop. So I'm hoping that it has a similar effect on the house guests, but already, like you said, yesterday sort of did cement the layout of the house. So I mean, is it really going to be that hard to figure out who is who when nominations go up? And it's like, well, obviously you didn't put me up. But I just feel like, you know, once the house is kind of split, it makes it easier to narrow it down. Who knows, maybe somebody will try to take a shot that maybe would not have taken had the HOH been regular. So we'll see.
Well, the thing is, I think in a house like this, where, because I think that there are people that are kind of in the middle. So like, say if somebody like Tina won and took a shot at Ty and Jed, which she was going to do anyway. And then is like, what? No, it's not me. I was going after Austin, remember? I do think that Ty and Jed really would be like, bro, Can't believe he got us. You know what I mean? Like,
Do you think so?
I feel like there's a decent chance that in this house, people will definitely not believe the correct thing because they very rarely do.
That's a fair point. But at the same time, I'm like, y'all have already sort of been, I mean, I don't know why I'm trying to rationalize what the two of them could think, because they often, you're probably right, but it would just seem like to me, I mean, you already had suspicions of Tina. And if I feel like if Ro did it, he would have no qualms saying, yeah, I did it.
Well,
like,
again, you might not be allowed to say. You know?
I would hope so. I guess everybody would just say it's not them. So
again, assuming this invisible HOH is an anonymous HOH, I think you have to implement the rule that you cannot say anything, because otherwise people will say. You know, because you should, like, you should tell your allies, hey, I won this HOA. And then it's not as fun. I think you have to have the rule that if you say anything, you know, you end up on the block, you know, something like that. Right. So,
right.
We'll see. Or, you know, they could do, I mean, if you really want to get weird with it, you know, I've seen suggestions with this kind of thing before where, it is up to the house guests to then try and guess who they think the HOH is. And if they get it right, then that could strip away some powers or potentially put the HOH on the block. Now, my problem with that idea, of course, was that, allies have no incentive to guess that it might be one of their allies if it means that their ally gets the HOH power stripped from them. So you'd have to have something.
It's probably not going like to be that.
But it could be like, say, the nominees have to try and guess who nominated them, right? And then maybe, you know, if they do. But that would just incentivize some random nominations to be like, oh, well, you'll never figure it out. And so it'll be all over the place. So who knows?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's probably not as complicated as you would think, because it rarely ever is with these kinds of things. We come up with so many different types of scenarios, and then it's like the most simple untwisty twist of all time. So it's probably just going to be an anonymous week. We don't know who it is. They figure it out anyway. It ends up being the talk of the town by Saturday, what happened, and then the veto is just very straightforward, unless it's an anonymous veto. Again, it's just anonymous week, hoes. Like, let's go.
Everything's invisible. Yeah, you know what? I think, because again, my issue with this idea that I've seen in the past is that it will just play out very regularly. That shouldn't have too much impact. I think that if this is the house that is most ripe for this kind of twist at this time as well, like, if it doesn't work here, I don't think it works anywhere. So it's a great place to try it, because I think the timing has worked out pretty well so far.
I'm definitely excited. I mean, we were all sort of, we're not complaining, but sort of lamenting the fact that this week it sort of slowed down in momentum because of the sort of straightforwardness of it all. And I think that having something like this with this particular cast, I think you were right before, like, it does have the potential to just sow a lot of discord, because these people are all B to C level players. So anonymous HOH might just be the thing to just inject some more life into this week. So I'm excited for it. Once again, this season has just been some pretty good stuff. So I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah. It may turn the week into another endless circle talk of wait, who do you think it is? It's this person. It's this person.
And we're all like really excited by it in the first couple of days. And then come Saturday, we're like, we know who it is.
Shut up about it. It doesn't matter.
I'm tired of talking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the day here. We started the day with Tara and Ro. So the day before yesterday, you know what? I'm done doing that. Today. I'm talking about today, which is yesterday, which is day 26, which is March 24th. But today, right now, is March 25th. But today, the when I say today, I am now referring to March 24th, which is day 26. And so yesterday is the day before that, day 25, March 23rd. All right? You got that? Everything clear? I hope that was very clear. It sounded very clear to me. So yesterday,
BB updates would be so proud. regular Big Brother daily tweet, love it.
Yes. Yesterday, when I talked to you about what happened yesterday, I told you that Tara and Tina had been told that that Austin and Brayden were gunning for them, would put them up, right? So Tara and Tina pushed very hard for Kyle to stay in the game and for Austin to leave because they kind of believed that it might be true. However, over the course of the day, they ran into some walls and it seemed like that was not going to happen. So in the morning today that we're talking about, Tara talked to Ro and she asked him, like, what's up with Austin and Brayden? Would they come for us? And Ro says, absolutely not. Austin and Brayden would not put you up at all. I do believe that they were put in a situation at one point where they might have said to Ty and Jed, just to throw them off, yeah, we'd go after Tina and Tara, but I can guarantee you it is not true. You have to remember Ty and Jed are smooth talkers and they cannot be trusted and they are just trying to split you up. And Tara says, okay, well, I just wish that they had let us know that they had said our names so that it wasn't so easy for them to tell us that they might've said our names. And we need to open the lines of communication some more. And Rose says, absolutely.
I mean, did they have to let you know? I mean, it's not like they were talking to you guys before. Like, I don't know if I would have like really let Ro dissuade me into thinking that there's a possibility that Austin and Brayden could put me up, because quite frankly, I still think that it could be a possibility. Maybe they don't want to go for Ty and Jed at the same time. Maybe they want to put Jed up and put one of you guys up just in case something happens. Or if Jed and Ty end up on the block at the same time and one of them comes off, maybe one of you would be the replacement nominee. So I'm sort of like on the side of paranoia here. Like, look, if I'm Tina, I'm like, okay. Yeah, that's kind of strange that, I mean, we don't really talk, so they could put me up and I don't necessarily, like, what about you, Tina? Are you assuring Austin and Brett that they're good? Or are you just trying to, you know, lay in the middle the entire time until the right time is to strike? So, hey, I mean, they're fair game as far as I'm concerned. If I'm Austin and Brayden, putting up Tara and Tina, and what are you going to do about it? Like,
all right,
we don't talk game.
Here's the thing. I've figured out this Jed Ty thing. I haven't screwed up the Ted nonsense in a while, but you guys are screwing. Now it's going to mess me up again because everyone else is saying Ted and now I'm going to start saying Ted again.
It's because Ted is a name. Ted is a name. But just maybe I should just say Ted and just refer to the both of them and it'll be a bromance name and we'll just get it over with because it's going to happen again.
I do disagree though. Tina and Tara have talked enough with Austin and Brayden. They really shouldn't have believed the lie in the first place. I think the only reason they believed it is because it came from Kiefer and they trusted Kiefer's source of information. But toward the end of the day, they're going to kind of come to the probably correct conclusion that this is not really the correct information. Ro does. And I really liked this from Ro. I feel like Ro might actually, it's interesting that Ro and Kiefer are so at odds because I think that they're actually very similar as players, but just at kind of different ends of the spectrum, when it comes to how they play with their social game. I've talked about how I think Kiefer is probably one of the better strategic minds in the house. I think Ro is probably, also up there in terms of his strategic ability, the way of looking at the game. He often says things that are correct, but he also says things that are wrong. But it's really his social execution that leaves a lot to be desired. And it's the same thing with Kiefer. In Kiefer's case, it's that people don't respect him as much. He tends to be a little bit emotional. He talks about how he's too soft for the game, and he got really mopey last week. With Rohan, it's almost the opposite. It's that he is a little too cold and a little too businesslike, and it's harder for him to connect to people emotionally. But they both can have good reads and good ideas of what they should be doing in the game, but the social ability is preventing them from having all of the tools necessary to enact those things correctly, right? So Ro says that it may be frustrating. And this is part of what I mean, because Ro says that it's frustrating that people like Austin and Brayden are in a better spot than Tina and Tara, but it's actually the reverse. He just doesn't see it because he doesn't have that social read, right? But he says it's frustrating when you have people like that who are in a better spot than us. Yes, because they're going to be safe and we're going to be in trouble. But it's still actually a better thing for us overall if the other side thinks that they have those extra numbers, because they might go easy in an HOH competition. They might take their hands off the wheel for a second. They might start looking at each other, and they may just be like, you know, we don't need to win this HOH, which is very true. And later in the day, Ty and Jed will talk about potentially throwing the HOH to somebody like Tina, which is a very bad idea, but it's because they think that they have Tina and Tara on board that happens. So I thought this was some great insight from Ro in a spot where there's not a lot that you can do as a two-sided game. And there's usually a lot of animosity toward the people that play the middle. I think that Ro's appreciation for the people that play the middle is a very good stance to take.
Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff that I've been waiting for him to sort of give us. I mean, I feel like I'm always talking about his pregame interview, but my goodness, there's a gnat in here. Leave me alone. he said in his pregame interview that he wanted to sort of play like this sort of like devious game. And because of the fact that he's been so... in hot water for so long, he really hasn't had a lot of time to like really set his feet down, like really sink his teeth into the strategy. But it's stuff like this where it's like, okay, so you understand some of the ins and outs of this game and what sort of like incentives people you can expect from people given their social position in the house. So yeah, I like this too. I think that it's definitely, when it comes to Ty and Jed, it's definitely an accurate thing. I think that you could probably expect a lot of his behavior from Ty and Jed in the future. So I'm wondering if he'll be able to use it to his advantage and if people are not going to get too spooked. I think it really kind of does depend on like what they tell them before this HOH. Like, is it going to be a thing where the HOH gets won and then they'll find out it's anonymous, or are they going to let them know beforehand, this is an anonymous HOH, it might behoove all of you to gun for it? Because towards the end of the day, a lot of people were saying, you know what, I'm just going to gun for it. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So Ro says he doesn't think the other side has any intention of flipping this vote. And she says, I just don't want Austin and Brandon to be playing them. He says, they're not. Do not worry. Ro's going to leave. Kyle's going to come in. She says, she really quickly just asked Kyle as well, like, can I really trust Austin and Braden, like 100% non-wavering? He says, absolutely. Which
I would feel so like, I know that there really isn't much that can be done right now at this point, but I just, every week, I always just feel so bad for the player that's out the door and someone is asking them for advice for the rest of their game. I'm like, I would be like, don't talk to me. Like, don't ask me anything. I would just be so sour, but you know, good for you, Kyle.
Yeah. So Tara goes and talks to Austin and Brayden and says, look, as far as I know, Austin, you're still good, but there was some rumbling yesterday. She says, I think the purpose of the rumbling was to pin us against each other and to pin it all on me, like always. And you know what? You know what, too? Not me and Tina. No, just me. It's always me. Tina's always left out of it. I why is that?
I wonder why that is.
Because Tina's a sunsetter. but she thinks it's just because Tina's more likable than her.
I mean, I think two things can be true at once, Jared.
She says, look, I think it's a fake rumble. I think we're okay. So I don't think you need to worry. But I do think we need to open up our communication some more, because it's easy to believe there are lies sometimes. I was told that you were coming for me, but I think it's a lie. Tina ends up joining and they continue to clear up, like, oh, you know, we were told that we were coming for each other, but it's all lies. We're coming together. We all need to gun for the HOH, and we'll just continue to let the other side believe that we believe their lies.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me that, Austin really just, you know, she's really in a pickle this week, but through like little action of her own, she is still able to sort of like get information from everybody else. And I mean, there's a whole rumbling that you're being told about, and she is as cool and calm and very like, all right, well, let's clear this up. And I'm like, girl, there's a chance that you almost went home. There is a chance. It might not have been that big of a chance, but there's a chance. And she's just not giving me enough of I need to be here energy yet. It's kind of making me upset, but you know what? It's working for her, so whatever. Yeah. Add that thing to the wheels fall off, bro.
Tina and Braden are going to talk a little bit more specifically, saying that it was Ty and Jed that were telling both of them the reverse, that they were going after each other. And they both agree that they would nominate Ty and Jed if they won HOH, and they will be gunning for the HOH. Vic is then going to briefly talk to Kyle and let him know, dude, you need to campaign. You've got to do it. Like, I'm trying to get you to stay, but you need to talk to people. And she tells him, you should go to Ty, Jed, and Beth and tell them that you are only going after Kiefer. You're not going after them. You're going after Kiefer. And then they might keep you. I do believe she is not intentionally sabotaging Kyle, because she is going to fight to keep Kyle with Ty, Jed, Beth, and Kiefer later in the day. So I think this was genuine advice, but very bad advice.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, we were on the podcast a couple of days ago, and you know, I was a champion for Victoria, you know, and in a lot of ways I still am. Mm-hmm. On this particular day, however, yeah,
I told you, dumb or extremely smart.
It sounds like something that she would do if she were in a situation. And that just, I mean, maybe it might work for you in your own strange kind of way, Victoria. Maybe this plan would have worked for you. For Kyle, I think it's a bit of a different story. It's a bit of a different dynamic between the four of them. Mm-hmm. And I just don't really see how she felt like that was going, especially when Kiefer just did not put them on the block. So why would they? Kiefer's with them, mm-hmm. obviously. You're on the block. So why do you think that they would be gung-ho about you going after Kiefer? And why do you think they would believe? I mean, Ty and Jed might believe it, to be honest. But still, it really doesn't incentivize them for them to go away. So whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, Vic.
He also let him know that Tina and Tara are fighting for you. So just so you know, he's like, good to know. Kyle's going to talk to Ro, and he lets him know what Vic said. And this is where, like, again, like, Ro occasionally has moments where I think he's got the strategic head on correctly, and then occasionally has moments where he doesn't disagree with this plan, to tell Ty and Jed that Kyle's going after Kiefer. But, Ro also fills him in that he says, look, I feel like I'm basically the glue holding Tina, Tara, and Austin and Braden together, because they're both telling me that they don't trust each other because they're being told that they're going after each other. And I'm holding them all together at this point. I think that the guys are trying to set up like a 4-4 tie, to get Austin and Braden pissed at me, Tara, Tina, and Vic, so that they can split us up. And Kyle's like, I don't think they're that smart.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a wonderful corollary of what's going on, but yeah, that's definitely not an orchestration there.
Yeah, exactly. It was not intended in any way. Although Ty is going to briefly suggest the idea a little bit later in the day, that it was not orchestrated in that way. They talk about, so many of the house guests were told to like chill, rest up, because they're anticipating that there might be some running involved in the HOH competition. That's what they're kind of anticipating, because they were told to like make sure their legs were feeling okay. I think, you know, obviously their knees are all busted up because of that veto competition. And some of them have had some like foot problems. So they're anticipating some running in the HOH competition. That's something to note. And really the main point here that Kyle thinks, if it is genuine, if it's not a setup, that they're contemplating this flip, it's probably because Austin has outperformed him in almost every competition that they've played in. And that's a pretty decent argument for him to stay. So that's going to be part of his pitch as well.
I mean, yeah, definitely use what you can. I also feel like I feel like we really haven't seen a ton of like endurance type competitions yet. So I feel like there's a little bit of hole in that logic. Like, yeah, Austin did pretty well at the crossword. She did pretty well with the, what's that other competition she did well. So she's doing well, but like, we still haven't seen outright pure raw physical competitions yet. And those are the comps that I feel like, you know, Jed and Ty are pretty much just sleeping dragons for. And so, ultimately, yeah, I mean, keeping Kyle still could combat that, but Kyle also really hasn't been doing well. So are you really that much of a bastion of security if we keep you here? Are you really going to be able to beat those two? So, it's something. It's something on his end.
Yes. He's worried about like campaigning against Austin. He's like, I don't want to, if she's not campaigning against me, like, I don't want to be campaigning against her. And so his solution to that is that he's going to go and talk to Austin and say, look, I think we should both campaign. I'm going to go campaign. I think you should also campaign.
You mean play the game? Like even. Play Big Brother?
Yes. this is one of those situations where it's this is him, I think, trying to be nice, trying to be like I'm not campaigning. It's actually, it works out for him though, because him campaigning and Austin campaigning are vastly different in terms of their impact, as we'll talk about. But in the meantime, Tina, Tara, and Kiefer got together, and they let him know, Tara very reluctantly, that, you know what, we slept on it, we thought about it. If you want us to vote out Kyle, we're down. Tara keeps saying, I mean, I think it's the wrong choice, but yes, we'll do what you want. And Kiefer's like, okay, great. Cause I was thinking about it too. And it's like, if Beth and Ty were on the block and you, and I approached you guys about like, we got to take out Beth. Like, that's what this is like. Right. And Tara's like, well, no, because I do still think that the right move is to keep Kyle for us three, but you know, again, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. If you want to make this mistake, essentially, then I'm willing to make this mistake with you. And Kiefer's like, well, I think that this is the right call. And like, even this, like, we're doing what you want conversation, Tara can't even manage it without pissing Kiefer off.
Yeah, and Kiefer's kind of got like a bit of a short fuse. He's not really, I mean, he doesn't blow up or anything, but you can tell that his tone will shift just like that. And I just feel like this is not your, I mean, you're not Derek, Tara. Like, you're not going to do the whole, hey, this is a good idea. All right, I'll talk to you later. So yeah, we're doing this. Like, no, you lack the social grace, the finesse to make that happen. So I just back off. I mean, obviously, yes. And Kiefer's also not dumb. So he knows that you trying to keep Kyle, there's something in it for you, but not for him, especially since he put him on the block. And then Kiefer tried to compare it to Jed and Beth being on the block and them trying to, like, it just, no, just Kiefer, on your end, just say no. I think that this is the best plan for us going forward. And for their end, like, you know, he's not going to give in. So just move forward and try to work together. I don't know, like, this kind of conversation really made me a little afraid. I'm like, I don't know if the pre-90s is going to last a generation or so. I think that they might they might implode. And I think that Tina would probably be the one that just sort of is like in the middle, like, well, I don't know what to do, because Tara and Kiefer are really out here warring. Like, mom and dad are having some disagreements. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm waiting for a bit of a blow up with Tara, because we've already kind of seen it. We saw her when she was really upset with Jed and she was confiding in Ty. But she didn't really say anything to Jed. So I'm just waiting, because it feels like she's just a little wind up doll and she is just ready to, like, if she gets HOH, ooh, baby.
See, this is Victoria's mistake, because Victoria has been trying to get into a big blow up. She tried with Beth. She tried with Kyle. It's not working. She has not picked the right person. Oh, Victoria, yeah. And Tara head to head would be a match for the ages.
Yep. Yep. You will get it with her. You will definitely get it with her. I was like, I mean, not to bring it back to LaToya, but I was just still so proud when even LaToya didn't give her that. Cause like Victoria was like, don't talk to me like that, LaToya. And LaToya's like, okay. but you know, you keep talking over me, right? Like, mm-hmm. but she says calm, she says Zane, and Victoria wants it. I mean, she's been trying to get into a little bit of a scuffle, so you're going to pick the right one today. I'm excited.
All right. So Austin is going to, on the advice of Kyle, campaign to Jed. Her campaign is, so I feel good with you, and that means, you know, I'm like a number, and, you know, I want to be here really badly, and you know, I'm gonna try real hard, and yeah, I mean that's basically it. Jed asks, well, so are you working with Ro? No, we don't even talk game. We just like hang out, but we're just like all personal. Like, okay, well, like, who would you put up? Well, not you. God. But I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. It's like, oh, all right. Great talk. Great campaign. Love it.
I think this is the part of the game that most people that want to play this game don't really think about. Mm-hmm. Like, are you good at talking to people? Are you good at giving them something so that they don't want to get you out of here? Like, are you good at the wheeling and dealing of Big Brother? Are you good at that? That's such a crucial skill when it comes to this game, because Austin, oh, like, I mean, I know that she has her stance, but like, she's giving y'all nothing. She's literally giving y'all nothing. And at first it could have been, okay, she's just playing the background. But then when she has to come to the forefront, this is what we get. How is she even if she does make it to the end, how is she going to talk to a jury? How? There was nothing in this conversation other than, we're good. I'm not coming after you. Good talk. What?
She's just going to coordinate with Brayden, and then they'll talk at the same time to give the speech.
Oh, it was so cringeworthy. So cringeworthy.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So immediately following, Kyle is going to talk to Jed and Ty, and he is going to give his pitch. He says, look, I am a big target in this house. I haven't even done well in competitions. I'm not even good at the competitions, but I am still a big target. That is great mm-hmm. for you. I'm not coming after you and you two. And they say, well, are you willing to name names? And he says, absolutely. I'm going after Tina and Tara. Those are the two names I'm coming after. But also, look, I know that you and Ty will need Keith to go at some point. And you guys are not going to be able mm-hmm. to take that shot yourself. So I am the person willing to take that shot. And you know that Kiefer will never vote for me in the final two if I make it there. That's a good thing about me. And it's like, okay, you were great with, just end it with Tina and Tara. That's what they want to hear. And they're willing to believe it too. This is don't listen to Victoria.
How did you put yourself in the final two? Like, yeah. Why? What? Like, God, come on, man. Come on, man. I was so ready to be like, yeah, Kyle, so much better than Austin. And then you did something like this. It's just like, you need to know when to just give just enough and then just go on about your day. Just go on about your day and let them stew over it. Because that was just stew, a little bit too much.
Let them stew over stew.
And also, like, you can never really promise stuff like that in this game. Like, it's always like a good point to say, I can go after the people that you want me to go after, that you can't go after. But there's so much that has to go into a week for that kind of stuff to happen. You have to guarantee that you win HOH. You have to guarantee that certain vetoes don't get played or do get played. There's just so much that goes into that you just can never really make that a real, especially at this point in the game when there's so many people left. Maybe if there's less people left, then maybe. But at this point, it's just not a good pitch.
It's not a pitch that you can make to somebody else. It's a line of thought, a line of reasoning that other people may think of you, but you cannot pitch it to them. So other people might think, oh, I can use Kyle to get out whoever, right? That's what Tina, I can use Kyle to get out Ty and Jed. Great. But Kyle can't go to Tina when he's on the block and, you know, Tina's been thinking that Kyle's been coming after her for a while, and for Kyle to be like, well, use me to take out Ty and Jed. It's like, if they're aware of it, then they're also aware that they're not in a good position if they actually do that, which means they're less likely to actually do it. Does that make sense? So it's like, I only want to use you in the game if you're unaware that you're being used. If you pitch to me, use me, I'm going to be like, oh, so you see it then. If you see it, you're going to get out of it. You know? Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, it's the thing, like, you just need to get, when you're good at knowing what kinds of things incentivize people, you can work that to your advantage without letting people know that you're working it to your advantage. Just, just, you know, let them arrive at that conclusion on their own, because they probably already have. And then if you, like, because everybody wants to make, everyone wants to feel like it's their idea, you know, like, it's, they're the ones that are coming up with this. And the minute you expose that to them, it's like, all right, well, I mean, you're clearly smarter than I thought that you were, so might as well get rid of you now. So,
well, Kyle does say that he is willing to throw the HOH to them as well. They ask if he's working with Austin and Brayden. He says, look, yeah, I talk game with them all the time. If you want to call that an alliance, sure. But like nothing official.
You want to call that alliance? If you want to call talking game with people, the same set of people for a week, an alliance, I mean, hey, I'm not judging. It is what it is.
So Ty and Jed afterward, neither pitch was amazing, but Kyle's was head and shoulders above Austin's. They thought it was a very good pitch. Jed says Austin's pitch sucked. She denied ever talking with Kyle, a game with Kyle and Rowe. Wouldn't give him anything. Obviously, they do talk. At least Kyle was willing to admit that he talks game with Austin and Brayden. Like, why would she ever think that we'd believe that she doesn't? He was willing to name names. Like, that was a good pitch, least in comparison to Austin's. And Jed, I think, has been convinced. I think that if it were up to Jed in this moment, he is keeping Kyle. He is getting rid of Austin. I think even Ty has kind of been convinced, except for one thing. And I love how Ty talks. I just love Ty in general, but like, he always says, like, question for you though. Just one question for you though. The problem is that who's going to put Kyle on the block up next week, right? The problem is that if Tina and Tara want so bad for Kyle to stay and for Austin to go. Now, remember, Tara was obnoxiously pitching that Kyle needs to stay yesterday to Ty and Jed. And that convinced them that they can't keep Kyle because he will be working with Tara and Tara will not be going after Kyle. And so Ty brings that up again. He's like, nobody's going to put him back up on the block. Whereas Tara and Tina really want Austin to go. They're going to put Austin on them. Austin is a much bigger target at this point because Tina and Tara will go after them. Tina and Tara will not go after Kyle. And so I don't think we can keep him. And I tweeted this out. I genuinely believe that the pitching here, if Tara had not done anything yesterday, if she had not made any pitches, if she had just stayed in her corner with Tina, I think that Kyle would be staying. I really do. I think that that is the primary reason why Kyle is not going to be saved by Ty, Jed, Beth, and ultimately Kiefer, is because this is the main reasoning. And Jed says, you know what, that's a really good point. And Jed, again, I think, has been convinced by Kyle's pitch, but accepts Ty's logic as well, and he's not willing to push too hard because he knows that Ty has some good points. Now, of course, what they don't realize is that Tina and Tara do not want to target Austin. They just were pushing to keep Kyle, and they will be in for a nasty surprise if they expected Tina, Tara, HOH to work out for them. But that logic has really been a sticking point here, and is one of the primary reasons why Kyle cannot stay, according to Ty and Jed.
Which I think is still ultimately the correct decision to make on their part.
Yes.
It's sort of like a pick your poison type of week, right? Like either you get rid of Kyle now and then you hope that they go for Austin and they really don't. And then there's a possibility that the two of you are ending up on the block anyway, or you get rid of Austin now and then Kyle just gets swayed over to the other side to put you guys up in the anyway. And then you're like, ah, we got you. You got duped. So would you rather that happen to you? Or would you rather just get rid of Kyle now? And I say, just get rid of Kyle now and then do your best in the competition and see what rolls out from there. And in terms of Tara, like, I just feel like she has just been so consumed by the culture of this house, because it seems like the pitch and the art of the deal are really a thing that happens around this time of week. And she has seen so many other players, specifically LaToya, I know that I keep bringing her up, sort of like do this type of thing around this time of the week. And it's almost been successful. And I feel like Tara's like, well, this is my time to shine. I got to start building my resume. So let's start thinking about how to flip this week. And it's like, nope, doesn't work for you. You ain't got the sauce, girl. You ain't got the sauce.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kiefer's going to join the conversation. They talk about the Kyle pitch. Jed says it was a really good pitch. Ty agrees. But Kiefer says, I don't want to keep him, though. Kiefer's very against this. He's like, I don't care what the pitch was. They say that Kyle is very sure that he has Tina, Tara, and Vic on board. And Kiefer's like, no. Tina and Tara just told me they're willing to do whatever I want. So we are good either way. And like 5 minutes into this conversation, after they've been talking about how good Kyle's pitch was, Ty finally chimes in with, oh, yeah. And he also said he was going after you. So that's a no go for us. And Jed is like, that's when he lost me, too, actually, after I was just saying it was such a great pitch. They were so bad about this. Kiefer didn't say anything, but I don't know. If I were Kiefer in that spot, I'd be wait.
Why did you wait till now?
That would have been the first thing I would have told an ally that I cared about, that was part of their pitch.
And you say it emphatically, too. Like, you bust into the HOH room and you're like, yeah, nah, it's not happening. He said he was going to get rid of you. So, yeah. And also, these are the other things that he said. Like, that's,
yes.
That's, you let it be known where you stand.
Vic and Beth are also going to join. They discuss the reasoning some more. This is when Vic pushes pretty hard for Kyle to stay. And she's doing that thing where, she basically is just disagreeing with any logic, no matter what it is. So it's like, when Ty says, we just don't feel like anybody's going to put, like, people are going to have a much harder time putting Kyle up than Austin because, you know, Tina and Tara want Kyle to stay. They want Austin to go. It's just a lot easier. Austin's a bigger target at this point. It's a lot easier for people to put Austin up. And Vic is like, oh, but I wouldn't put Austin up. And they're like, wait, what? You wouldn't put Austin up? Well, I mean, it would be hard for me to put Austin up, I guess. But you would put Kyle. Oh, yeah, I'd put Kyle and Roe up easily. But so you're saying you won't put Austin up? Well, who did you put up then? Well, no, I mean, I'd still put Austin up, but I'm just saying it would be hard to put Austin up. Like, okay, so you are still putting Austin up, so we can still vote Kyle out. Of course.
So you want Kyle to stay, but you also wouldn't put Austin up on the block.
Right, that was what they were like.
But you also want Austin to go. But if she were to stay, you wouldn't want her on the block. You know, it looks like I might be having to eat this sooner than I thought. But you know what? You know what?
She's still okay position-wise.
She's still okay?
Yeah.
She's still okay? There was a lot of room for error this week for her. So you're going to let it rock. You're going to let it rock.
Oh man.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? God.
Oh man.
I can't.
So in this conversation, Vic is very much on the side of keeping Kyle. Beth is also kind of on the side of keeping Kyle. Beth, I think, would like for Austin to go if that was an option. She's kind of making that case a little bit, but not as adamantly as Vic. Jed, as I said before, I think has been swayed by Kyle's pitch, but accepts Ty's logic about Tina and Tara and thus is not pushing very hard either. Ty is more on the side of getting rid of Kyle because of that Tina Tara logic. And Kiefer is at this point just adamant, no, it has to be Kyle. And so with that in place, the conversation finally ends with it is going to be Kyle that goes. Vic is then going to run to Kyle and basically spill the entire reasoning for why he is still in trouble. And it's that they're worried that Tina and Tara won't put him up. This was great information for Kyle that Vic should not have exposed, because if Kyle had used this, it could really have screwed Vic over. But he is not really going to use this. And he should have, because it is like the reason he's staying. If Kyle goes to Tina and Tara and says to them, like, look, if you really want me to stay, the problem is they think that you're not going to come for me anymore. Let's figure. So you tell them that you're coming for me now if I stay, or that you're coming for whatever you need to do. I'm going to say I'm coming for you guys. We're going to make it seem like we're against each other, and that you've made up with Austin.
You think it would have worked, though? I mean, it was definitely worth a shot, but like, yeah. I just don't know, like, if they would. Like, I mean, Kiefer was already so hard, stalwart a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I think it was at this point, it's too late. But I would have loved to see Kyle, because like if Kyle had this information,
he
had this information like yesterday or even like earlier in the day, he might have been able to make something happen. But
can you imagine like Tina and Tara, like the beginning of the day, 12 p.m. Yeah, like we got to keep Kyle. I think it's a good idea. Like he's not coming after us. Like, you know, it's a good shot. 3 hours later, busting back into the room. Oh, well, Kyle got it. Like, you know what? He's got to stay. Like when he's coming, we're going to come after him and all this stuff.
I mean, I think what they could have done was, because what Kyle does is he goes to Tina and Tara and he says, look, I said your names to Jed and Ty just as a heads up. Obviously, I'm not coming for you. But like, I think how they could have played it is Kyle just came up to us and straight up said that he's coming after us, that he told you guys he's coming after us, and that like he's sorry, but that's what he has to do in the game. Like, we can't believe this guy. He's got to go. We're coming after him. And it could have played. I think that could have convinced Ty potentially. It would not have convinced Kiefer though. Would have been fun. Would have been fun to see them. Yeah. So we have a roast in the house. And you're talking, the thing about roasts for me is that, I think roasts can be funny, but I think part of the enjoyment of roasts is that it allows people to make fun of other people in a way that they genuinely feel. And people are like, but that's kind of icky to me personally. If I ever jokingly roast somebody, you know, I try very hard to make sure it is absolutely absurd, you know, like they would never actually believe that I think this, when I'm doing it. Because like when it hits too close, it's like, well, is a part of you really feel that way though? Because I feel like most of the time they kind of do, right? Mm-hmm. So it's roasts are interesting to me.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think I've never really been particularly blessed in the field of insult comedy, so I think that I just have like a lot of apprehension just going into this type of thing. I mean, at least as far as like a show like Drag Race, where they have like a challenge called the Reading Challenge, which is essentially a roast of the queens, I feel like it's always given through this lens of like love, right? It's like, yeah, I might actually be thinking about this about you, but like it's coming from a place of love, because like, I don't really care. I love you in spite of those flaws, but I'm going to make fun of you about them. Mm-hmm. With this particular game, though, this ain't Drag Race. And also these people, I don't think that the same sort of like relationship is sort of fostered between all, like, all these relationships are not equal inherently. And so when a roast happens in the Big Brother house, especially on a Wednesday before a Thursday, which is the HOH competition, you're kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I really want to participate in this, because something really could cut deep. Because I mean, they roast each other casually as it is. And like, look what happened with Tara and Jet. Like, Tara has been talking all this trash about Jet because of something that he said about her height. And so it's like, I don't really know if this is something I want to get into. But I mean, like, if you're good at it and you're able to like make it funny and truthful, then you could probably get away with it. And I think that's kind of why Kiefer's was ended up being the best. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there it's a delicate nature. It yeah. really is.
Yeah. I think you're definitely right. I think the best kind of roast is coming from somebody who loves you and who loves these things about you. Mm-hmm. But like also knows that I did an awards show on Twitch for the year of 2020, and Lita did the opening for it, and she roasted me about how obscure all of my choices were. which is like that's great. Love that. Mm-hmm. Like, because I know she doesn't actually think that makes me a lesser person or anything, right, exactly. We get some of these roasts, and I think Tara is a perfect example of somebody who does not have that kind of relationship with anybody in the house and had no business doing any roasts. But
that's why I put red on today, celebration of a massacre.
Yeah. So we get some roasts. I was not particularly impressed myself with anybody's roast other than Kiefer's. I really liked Kiefer's. Mm-hmm. Although Kiefer's roast of Ro, I thought was a little bit lackluster. And I think that's, again, partly because there was some real animosity behind it. Mm-hmm. But I think Vic's best line was probably that she wanted to she will go first unless the HOH wants to. Jed, Ty.
Yeah.
Which was that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But then we had Kiefer, right? Kiefer comes up, and I actually clipped two of Kiefer's best lines because I really liked them. This one about Austin, he says,
Austin, I'm glad you showed up with your two expressions. One of them being Brayden.
Woohoo! Getting spicy!
Oh, man. One of your two expressions, one of them being Brayden, is pretty good. And then he had one for Kyle as well.
Kyle, I've never seen anyone start smoking to make their breath smell better. Interesting tactic.
Oh, my God.
But it's working. Right, Austin?
Yeah. Those are always the best kinds when you can get two people for the price of one. And just like the way that he sort of like unfolded the joke was pretty good. And clearly I don't know how much crossover there is between comedy and radio hosting, but it seemed like he definitely was the most prepared, and the comedic timing was A1.
Yeah, it was like just that it kept going, that he smokes to make his breath smell better, and hey, it's working.
It's working.
The smoke does actually smell better than his breath. Right, Austin? And I loved it.
Damn.
Too. Like Ty and Jed, and like they just like ran off the couches like,
Yeah, that would be me. That would be me hyping up everybody. Everybody, and then when it's my turn, I'm just sitting there looking pissed.
So his one for Ro was just like, for somebody that dresses so nice, you're so ugly. I was like,
okay.
Oh, all man. Right. It's some real malice just snuck in here, because that mean, was it, rough.
And it just doesn't work. Like, yeah. Ryan is very, very handsome. Like, he's not ugly.
Yeah. So. Well, what are you doing? Austin and Brayden have some. I was not a huge fan of the Austin and Brayden show. They were the only
one that I liked, and I can't remember what it was.
They were the only people to come up as a duo because they literally cannot leave each other's side.
Codependent,
And they had one that was like, Austin was like, I know from personal experience, Jed, that, you know, when you shave all your, like, I don't know why she said from personal experience. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the point of that was, but, for somebody that shaves his whole body, you are not smooth.
Oh yeah. I like that one. I like that one. It wasn't like a knee slapper, but I was like, okay. Like,
All right.
Cause there's like, you know, there's a whole thing between, you know, Jed and like trying to get with Austin, mm-hmm. and Austin just keeps fading him. So I was like, all right, yes, you better talk your stuff. Talk your stuff, girl.
Yeah. the worst bit though, like, at the end, they literally said, they literally spoke in unison.
In unison. Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? That was roastable right there.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, Kiefer, like it was like they had the cadence of Zingbot, but they were speaking together. Mm-hmm. And the roast was that, like, for somebody that likes to cook, he finds himself in hot water a lot. Like, all right. Okay.
Joan Rivers, you are not. Bianca Del Rio, you are not.
Yeah, I was really that one was really like, oh boy. Ro
with the build up too, like,
yeah. Yeah. Ro goes up, and I actually thought this was kind of funny, but also did not quite illustrate his point as well as I think he was hoping it would. But Ro comes up and says to Kiefer, like, all right, how are you, did you have a good morning, Kiefer? Did you have a good morning, Amon?
I did, yeah.
Did you have like a hearty breakfast?
Yeah, some Fruit Loops.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I just intimidate you? That was Rose. It worked better with Kiefer because he was saying no. It's like,
sorry, I didn't know.
But people laughed. It was kind of funny, but like he did kind of like, it was a little weird. Like it was mm-hmm. a little bit like, why are you asking me these questions? It was mm-hmm. a little intimidating in that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Jed was like, I was intimidated.
Yeah. That kind of like, if you're going to like go for that, you really have to make it a little bit more subtle. It's got to be like it's got to be involving other people too. It's got to be like, how's everybody doing tonight? You know, mm-hmm. what's up, Taryn? You know, you enjoying yourself? How you doing? Oh, what's up, Keith? Oh, don't want to intimidate you, bro. Like something like that's got to be quick and like to the point so that people can sort of, you know, catch on.
Mm. And then finally, so they wrap up and it's like, oh, everyone had so much fun. Wow, that, you know, it was short, but it was fun. Oh, that was great. Man, wouldn't it be great if we had more of these? And you know, everyone started to walk away, and Tara's like, well, I could go. Like, oh, you want to do it? Okay. Well, let's everyone come back. Everyone get back into the seats. And already it's like, you're trying to recreate the magic like 5 minutes later. Like, the moment has passed. And Tara goes up there. She's like, all right, well,
oh God,
everyone in this house is so lazy. Everyone is just so lazy. You know, like they don't do things. And, I don't remember all of her jokes, but the ending joke was like, oh, and Kiefer, the whole thing was about how everyone is so lazy and Kiefer is so lazy that he couldn't even put on his glasses to see the three people that voted him out this week. Ah! Oh man, we just lost him on. Loving the keyblades in the background. Didn't notice those before.
Thank you. Oh yeah, I'm always hiding them. Yeah. Oh man. Oh Tara. Oh man. I hate to get on Tara so much, but like I want her to enjoy herself and have a good time in this house. But to me, I just always feel like she gets in her own way. I really do. I just think that she has this idea of how she's being perceived in the house, and that sometimes it like makes her a little standoffish, and you're not going to be able to come up with funny jokes if you don't really have good relationships with people. And it's just, the whole thing was just a fail. And the fact that she waited to go last, she's like, me, like, oh, it's like, if you're gonna do all of that, then you have to come correct. You do. Yeah. She just didn't.
And there were a lot of jokes about the triangle situation. And like after the roast, Tara just kept going like, Beth and Jed, are they really doing that? Really? So that was the roast. There wasn't too much else that went down yesterday. Kyle and Austin both kind of agreed, like, let's just, they said they were going to tell us their decision. By nighttime. So we'll await that decision. Tara and Tina talked and confirmed to each other they do not believe that Austin and Braden are coming for them. They think it was a lie. They think that perhaps Kiefer was tricked by Ty, because they got that information from Kiefer. They think that Kiefer must have gotten that information from Ty and Jed, and that Kiefer was tricked by it as well. But they do not believe it. They are with Austin and Braden. Beth is also going to talk with Tina and Tara a bit individually, just trying to rekindle that relationship a little bit. And she felt good about those conversations, which is part of why she talked with Jed and Ty. And they all agreed that, like, wouldn't it be great if they could throw the HOH to Tina this week? Now, I don't think that's going to come into play, because if it's an anonymous HOH, there's no need to throw it to Tina, but nor could they even reliably throw it to anyone. So I don't think this will matter, but it's just kind of, again, like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically what we had here. Amon, anything else that you wanted to bring up?
I mean, not really. I mean, we did get to see like a little bit of a nice little emotional moment between Kyle and Austin in the bathroom. And, you know, because it seemed like the two of them have been getting a little closer, and she's sad to see him go. And we also
was informed that she would be staying. We got some goodbyes here with Carb.
Yeah. And like Kyle sort of has to like be alone for a little bit to just sort of deal with it. So I mean, I've been seeing a lot about how he's a super fan, and it felt like to me like none of this information sort of like came to the forefront until this week. And so on that end, I feel for him, like, if this is all true and you really are a super fan, and like, you know, because
Big Brother camping,
you know, yeah, no one wants to see. I didn't know any of that until this week. Oh. I feel for the guy. Like, I mean, it sucks. I mean, it's definitely not the first boot, you know. Fourth boot isn't that bad, but it still sucks. I mean, it's pre-jury, and no Big Brother super fan wants to have that as their experience. So I feel for him. It sucks.
Yeah.
But you know what? Maybe there is something in the works. Maybe this, I mean, we still do have 14 house guests, something, and it's two less than usual. I feel like there's got to be some twist somewhere where there's like a non-elimination or a fake eviction or something. And now with this anonymous HOH, who knows? Maybe something's in the works. We'll see.
I don't think so. Not for Kyle.
I love how I'm like, yeah, maybe, you know, there might be a chance. Tara's like, no, not for Kyle. No.
No, not you know, it's not gonna happen. Not gonna happen for Kyle. All right. So that's what we have for you. I'm gonna be live later today, in perhaps an hour or so at around 1 p.m. Eastern, to hang out. Maybe play some Fall Guys at first while the feeds are still up on Twitch. But when the feeds go down, I should be live on Twitch. Talk about the stock watch. Talk about what we're looking at in terms of tonight, the invisible HOH. What we see in terms of where people are going to target. I can tell you that basically what we have is Tina, Tara, Austin, Braden, Roe, all gunning to win. All would put up Ty and Jed. Some of them would put like Kiefer up as a replacement, potentially. Some of them might put up Beth as a replacement. You know, Vic is always kind of an option, depending. Then you have Beth, Ty, Jed, and Vic, I would assume. all competing to potentially put up Austin and Brayden on the other side. I believe that's what Vic has now said she would do. But if she's anonymous, who knows? If she's anonymous, she might strike it best.
This is going to be so annoying on the feeds, isn't it? Because we're not going to know who it is.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think of that.
And they're not, it's not like they're going to like talk to the cameras. I mean, they might, but like,
we're going to have to try and figure out, unless they talk to the cameras. Yeah. Unless they talk to the cameras, we're going to have to figure out just as much as that's actually kind of fun. I hope they don't tell us.
Are you sure, Terry?
I want to try to figure it out.
I mean, damn it. It's just going to be a bunch of them just walking from room to room, just talking and being cagey. And damn it. Like, I don't. Oh, man. So we're really going to have to wait until freaking Sunday for confirmation. Or not even. No, Monday. Monday! This ain't Big Brother US! Oh my god.
Well, we'll have a pretty good idea by the time nominations go through. So I think we'll probably...
That's true, yeah.
We'll have a good idea by Friday if we still don't know. And then it'll be even more fun to try to figure it out. Alright, so find me on Twitch. Twitch.tv/TarrenArmstrong. We'll be talking about Stockwatch, giving advice, and going through all the scenarios for next week. I'll also be live tonight during the eviction episode to watch live with you guys after the eviction episode. I will be live with a recap for that episode.
Unless we see it on the episode,
we're not gonna see it, because if it's anonymous, then it has to be an individual comp, right? So I don't think there's any way they would be able to
couldn't
show
it just be a
the
question,
whole
when it couldn't it just be a questions comp.
I guess it's possible.
Oh, but then you said that they were supposed to be running.
Yeah, they were. It did seem like it would be physical. I could see like lanes where there's walls in between them and they can't see each other, but it, like, even when there's a question comp, we rarely get the outcome, right? So I would say very unlikely that we see who wins tonight, but who knows. Yes, recap tonight should be very fun. Lots of Big Brother content today. It's the Big Brother Thursday, so check it all out. I'll, of course, be back tomorrow morning to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds, including tonight. We may be doing some detective work tonight, so that should be fun.
Yep.
And that's what we have for you for now. Make sure you tune in again on Saturday for the Circle coverage that I've got going on. If you haven't checked out the Circle yet, you should do so. It's very fun. That's what I got for you. Make sure you listen to last night's recap with Anthony Douglas, because that was very fun.
Let me read this tweet that he made about Tara. Where is it? He said, where Anthony Douglas, Dougie-licious. Look, I'm not going to pin this, but I need y'all to know this. ... I F with the boy, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn has the ability to see through the murky water. He's roamed the savannah and understands the importance of a lion in any ecosystem. Follow him for all BB Can 9 updates.
That may be the best compliment I've ever received.
What a glowing endorsement.
Yeah, Anthony knows, I've got to get more clever with my compliments.
I definitely would not be putting him on the block after that. So, I mean, if that's any indication of how he ended up getting to the end of Big Brother Canada 7, then here you go.
I've roamed the savannah.
The savannah of all places. They so can good. Pick off the lions. He's calling you Rafiki from the Lion King. You are the kingmaker.
Circle of lions. Well, if that amuses you and you want more of that, make sure you listen to last night's recap, because it was very, very fun with Anthony. He was a riot. Check it out. That's what we got. Aman, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Aman Adwin, also on Twitch, the same name. Of course, I've got my Glee podcast, Running Strong with Matt at the Choir Room. And of course, the Drag Race podcast as well. Make sure that you're checking that out over in the RHAP feed.
All right. All right, that's what we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And see you next time.